Hello, welcome to Crippled System, episode 156.
Woo!
We have all the women with you today. I'm Casey.
I'm Danielle. I play Scorn and Gators.
I'm Celeste. I play Bradigus. Exclusively. Just kidding.
Amanda, Cyrus.
Jackie, Signar.
I guess I played Legion, if you haven't heard me before. So, as I said, this is the exclusive women's cast today.
It's the vagina cast.
It is the vagina cast. And we have a lot of fun subjects for you today. But I think we will start off with announcements, just so we don't get too ahead of ourselves at the end.
And so Andy doesn't throw a fit.
Right.
So I believe, for those that are in the area, we do have a tournament coming up in Baraboo this Saturday.
Saturday the 23rd.
Yep.
Lacrosse does one on the 24th.
Yep.
That's all I know.
And I think that's all we have for right now, because we're not entirely in the loop, but we're going to get there.
There's a Chicago Guild Ball tournament on the 30th. Everyone should go.
Yes, I agree. What do I play again? Alchemist.
Yeah, that's about the gist of it.
Yeah. I messed up.
Are we not live?
Yes.
Oh, you're live. Oh. But I forgot that your mic is not on.
So
none of that.
Oh.
My bad. All right.
Okay,
for everyone who didn't hear Casey, this is Crippled System, episode 156.
Ew,
because Andy Legion. Fucked it up. It's Crippled Systems, plural.
And I play Alchemist. I'm going to get that out there.
Andy's kicking you out right now. You're being escorted out of the room.
I was talking about the Baraboo tournament coming up on Saturday. I need to repeat that because I apparently was
I don't know if is her mic working yet?
Yeah, it's working.
Okay.
So there's a tournament in Baraboo this weekend on Saturday, and then we also have one in Lacrosse on Sunday. So the 23rd and then the 24th. So for you hardcore people, you can hit Baraboo and then Lacrosse if you want. A lot of fun subjects today, guys. We have the all-ladies cast, because I said that earlier, but it didn't go through. Yay.
Vagina cast. I mean, as many times as we can work in vagina cast.
Yes.
Just the words.
Not to be confused with boob cast. That's overweight men. You're looking you're looking for chain attack there, guys.
We should definitely do that, though. Like a men's boob cast. Absolutely.
All shirtless.
55 episodes of men's boob cast.
Just the regular version, right?
Yes.
There's several pairs of boobs downstairs, we're aware.
And I just want to throw it out there.
Ours are better, though.
First women's cast, I believe, in pretty much any meta around here, so that's awesome. And we're also casting before the Brian cast.
Oh, yay! Brian cast next week, yeah?
Totally. Brian cast.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay, yes. Brian cast 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. A bunch of dudes named Brian.
Yep.
Each one fighting to see who's nerdier than the last.
Yep. Have fun with them.
Like, I call them the Cult of Brian.
The Cult, yeah.
Yeah.
We were discussing earlier how technically the Bryans came first as far as timeline, and then once the Bryans came, all the ladies flocked, and now we have all ladies.
What on earth were we thinking?
You get to abstain, and you get to abstain because you're not with Brian.
No.
Oh, and you're not with Brian.
Jeez.
Just has one that's attached to her some of the time.
Yeah.
See, we have no people watching currently. What a bunch of jerks.
Right?
Yeah.
We are early, but, I suppose.
So, before we started the podcast, we were talking about a specific topic. I believe it was, page 5?
Page 5. We'll start it out with that. The womp womp.
So we were going to talk about Mark 3, but that's kind of like beating a dead horse. So
we'll start with page 5.
We can get to Mark 3 for 5.
The backstory to the page 5 debacle, I suppose, is that there was a gentleman with the release of Mark 3, or the announcement of Mark 3, who went into several of the forum groups, as well as the Privateer Press main page, to appeal to Privateer Press to remove the phrase "play like you've got a pair" from the from page 5, and as a gesture of solidarity for women who play the game, and taking a stance against sexism in the game, et cetera, to make the game more welcoming to everyone who chooses to play. And I think that the guy who did this, his intentions from my perspective, were more to troll the boards than because he actually cared all that much about it. I mean, I think he does care, but I think it probably was more like a let's see how much strong reaction I can elicit from this controversial thing. And Privateer Press commented on their thread to state that that's already happened. They haven't used the phrase play like you've got a pair in any of their printed material since 2010. It hasn't been used as a phrase. So it's sort of a moot point from that perspective, like it doesn't exist anymore. But the threads definitely deserve to be discussed, I think, based on what happened when this person did that. So Amanda, you have strong opinions.
I always have strong opinions, but I don't know, it just started with a significant number of people who were in support of keeping the phrasing play like you've got a pair because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It can pertain to, you know, a pair of dice, pair of tits, pair of ovaries. It doesn't have to be a pair of testicles. They're just saying play like you've got a pair, period. And it's not sexist. It's not offensive. It doesn't matter. And I think that people really, they devalue your personal experience when you are offended by that, when they say it doesn't matter. Also, it obviously pertains to testicles. I mean, there is...
Right.
It's a figure of speech that's pretty
right. Obvious. Everybody, when you say play like you've got a pair, everyone in the world knows that that's a reference to testicles. I mean...
Yeah. At least in America.
Right. Well, okay. At least in America. It's not... like, it's not that, to suggest that we just pretend it means dice is
stupid,
honestly. I when I first saw the thread, I was excited to see it. I really honestly like didn't necessarily have a super strong opinion one way or the other besides the fact that I'm like a raging feminist, so I obviously lean in that direction. But I definitely had a problem because there were people who started to comment, and I started to see people in the thread talking about one man in particular linked to something else, and I didn't even click the link because honestly it doesn't matter, but he said, why aren't we talking about real issues of sexism in gaming instead of this quote unquote pretend sexism, referencing the topic, and that was sort of my time to step in and say, as a person on the non-discriminated side, as a person on the side of power, you probably ought not tell someone what is and is not legitimate in their own experiences. And when I was talking about my experiences with experiencing sexism inside the game, his response was, well, am I supposed to also believe everyone who says that they've been abducted by aliens? Because they can tell me all about how it actually happened to them. Just because it happened to you doesn't mean it's real. And that was where everything sort of just...
That's the weakest argument ever. Oh, so yeah. Just because it happened to you when you say it happened doesn't mean it
really happened. Yeah. That's kind of where everything sort of fell to pieces for me. I have to say, I mean, one of the things that I was thinking through the whole thing is I have to give a big shout out to our meta. And when I talk about my meta, I'm talking about Milwaukee and Madison because mm-hmm. I play sort of all over the area. And I've made friends with a lot of the people in various places. So I consider it to be like my larger meta umbrella. We have an awesome group of dudes. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have an amazing group of men that I don't think I've ever experienced sexism.
No.
From a local.
They treat you like one of the guys.
Most of the time. Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of guys who are, I guess, kind of douchey, but they don't play that often. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not
just douchey to us. They're douchey to everybody.
Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, when you look at the guys we have in this area, they're really top notch. It has been at the conventions and the places where I'm seeing people. And part of the reason, especially. Oh, yeah.
The internet is where you're going to find most of it, which, to be fair, it's the internet.
Right. They can say whatever and go hide in their houses and not have to worry about the repercussions.
Yeah.
Playing like you have a pair thing?
Yeah, right. I mean, the whole topic of the conversation. Yeah. It's the whole point of the removing the phrase, I think, is just that it's an act of solidarity to say we want the game to be something that all people are interested in playing. We don't want to discount anyone from the gate, you know, to tell them that they're not welcome or less welcome or whatever. And removing it is sort of just like saying, we're not going to participate in anything that may perpetuate sexism. Like, it doesn't matter that it's there. They can replace it with anything. They've already taken it out. The game's not any worse off for it.
There's lots of other figures of speech.
Yeah, you can use any other phrase. We're just not going to use one that could potentially perpetuate any sort of sexism or anything.
Well, it's not even sexism. You're looking at, like, ableism, too. You say you play like you got a pair, you're already discounting every man who doesn't have a pair of testicles. And not just people who are, like, trans men, but men who have lost one. Right. Like, or both, for whatever reason. It's really just, like, it puts a lot of people out.
Yeah. There's this, in the Twitterverse, there's this hashtag, masculinity so fragile. I don't know if you've seen it. masculinity so fragile, which basically just talks about the extreme fragile nature of masculinity. And this is a really good example of that, that, like, it offends men so much to think of taking this one phrase out. Like, it offends them and it changes the game experience for them, that phrase doesn't exist inside of the literature. Like,
it's a phrase they wouldn't have even noticed otherwise. Right, really, you glance over with the rest of the rules, really.
It's going to be okay, guys. And now everybody is considered equal. It's better this way. So that's my page five rant.
I don't think he would fire off a snide comment whatsoever. I think Nathan agrees with us.
Nathan's adorable.
Nathan is douchey, but he's the most charming of douches.
I think Nathan would have strong words in our defense.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's with it.
He'll probably even just bring us up on the next podcast just to,
to reiterate.
Well, let's be fair. They talked about sexism in gaming in the last podcast as I sat downstairs, and they didn't bring me up once, and they had all of these things to say that were incredibly assumptive, but just were like, Amanda's downstairs. I'm sure she agrees.
Her. We don't need to involve women in conversations about women. What are you talking about? It's not important. So it calmed down and Privateer Press put an end to it and then it was over. But it was very interesting. It definitely reminded me that there's still a lot of work to be done if we're going to create, like, safe spaces for women in gaming.
Don't bring up safe spaces. That is a danger word. You want a safe space, you are a horrible person.
Right. I will say, though, it's very reminiscent of reactions to... I'm a shameless Facebook politics person. I just I don't comment or post anything. I just read, and it's glorious. But all the comments that I've read regarding Black Lives Matter as well, and racism, are very, very reminiscent of what people are posting in defense of sexism in gaming.
Absolutely.
That it's all in their head, or it's because they themselves are the problem, not because there's endemic racism or sexism in this case.
It's
the exact same excuses, just rehashed for a different argument.
Right. And I come from sort of a rural area where that's sort of prominent in my life. I've done some blogging about, like, introduction to critical thinking, where I sort of break down what it means to be a critical thinker to a very basic level for people, because that can, if you didn't grow up in a situation or if you're not familiar with how to, like, really process through these, I mean, Black Lives Matter is a very complex issue, and sexism in gaming is a very complex issue, and they deserve a lot of very critical thought, and sometimes you have to break it down and go back to the beginning, like, what does it mean to think critically and how do we do that, and things like that to get where we want to be.
There is, on the subject of critical thinking, there is an entire Facebook page of NFL NFL referees spelling out logical fallacies. It's the best response.
It's so funny. It is really good.
If you really want to get down to their level,
had those saved on my last phone just to be able to use them when I needed to.
Yeah, they're perfect. I saved a couple of them myself, too. Like, too good. All right, so do we want to talk about Mark III?
It's been talked to death already.
I mean, I feel like there's not really a whole lot to say. Just it's happening.
Waiting for things to come out.
Yeah.
And 2 months for the best.
2 months. I told Brian he's not allowed to buy anything else because it just seems like wasted money at this point.
That's what we're doing is we're just painting at this point because things could change.
We've shifted our focus to painting.
You just shift your focus to Guild Ball.
Two-month hiatus. I mean, it's not even 2 months because I haven't played War Machine in some time, but it's an official hiatus until Mark III comes out, exclusively Guild Ball for now.
That's a good excuse. So I'm going to show... So prior to... I've been with Brian for almost 3 years now, and prior to dating him, I had zero exposure to anything related to gaming at all.
Oh.
So my frame of reference is, like, anything prior to that was I made fun of people who played WoW. I played Sims on my computer. Like, that was the extent.
I make fun of people who play WoW, and I've been gaming since I was since I could walk. So much playing WoW. It's not even funny. LoL players especially. People who play League are the worst.
I used to play League.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you're not the worst. Everyone else is.
I tried really hard not to be the kind of partner who, like, says no to things, but occasionally Brian's work friends still play WoW, and he'll come home and be like, so I've been thinking, and I'm like, no!
Please don't do it.
I love you, and I want to see you sometimes. Please don't do it. Explain to me what Guild Ball is.
Sports ball. It's literally sports. You're playing... It's. I would say it's almost like aggressive soccer. So, like, if you smashed rugby and soccer together and you gave models and put them on a table, that's what you've got.
Okay.
Can this be a real life in-person game? Because I am so in.
Let's just do it.
It would be really fun. I mean, I play fishermen, which are, I am the scoring, like, that is my objective. Yes. As Casey experienced, turn two, I won the game. Because I can put it in the goal, like, no problem. Brian plays butchers, and they're more about beating people up.
Yes, because you can.
Yeah, I can put it in.
Put it in.
I can put it in real well.
In Guild Ball, you can, it's basically like killing them, but you just knock them out down the sidelines. Mm-hmm. They can come back after a certain amount of rounds. And
yeah, not Guild Ball talk.
And I play Alchemist. I mentioned that earlier, but I need to reiterate it.
Yeah, because your mic was dumb.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. Well, you do, like, AoEs.
Yeah,
and
I do a lot of AoEs. Like, you can get set on fire, or, like, there's little cloud effects that I can do, and it makes my attack
that
better.
That makes wanting
stuff.
To play it in real life a little less.
No, it makes it better. I'm still sold.
In people form on the soccer field.
Right now I'm thinking of, like, the typical, like, the, like, LARPers, the, like, lightning bolt.
Yeah.
His little sack of beans. Lightning bolt.
It sounds glorious.
It's pretty fun. I at first didn't think I would be super interested in, and then, like, I watched a game, played a game, and it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, we played a demo at Adepticon, and that's what got us in, I think. Plus, they were running an awesome special at all the cons. Guild Ball runs an awesome special. I think it's 2 starter boxes for $65, or else
it's a good deal.
This starter box, I think 4 models and a mascot. It might be 5 models and a mascot for $100. Awesome.
What does the mascot do?
The mascot, all of them are different. So each faction has a different one, and they all do something different.
They're models on the board.
Bitch.
Okay. Yeah.
So they don't just stand up to the
Yeah, they're on the board. They do something.
Okay.
My mascot is, like, pick up the ball, run really fast. If it dies, it makes my team better for the rest of the turn.
Yes, which is why I didn't want to kill it. Grr.
I know Mortician's of the Crow, and I have no idea what it does offhand. But
I'm getting an octopus. Something. I'm so excited. Like, and hunters have a bear, also really cool. I don't want hunters, but the bear is really cool. Mm-hmm. Butchers have a bulldog, like an English bulldog named Princess.
And then Masons have a monkey named Marbles, not Bubbles. It should have been Bubbles.
It's Michael Jackson's monkey's name.
Oh,
it's
no,
Bubbles.
I'm going after Dragon Ball Z.
Oh.
Bubbles. Yeah, uh-huh. I'm that girl. But let's see. Alchemists have a little robot that has, like, a tray of, like, chemicals and stuff. And then
Union has a snake.
Union has a snake named Coin.
That they feed coins to.
Yeah, they feed coins to him. And he does special stuff. Let's see, who else is there? I think there's another robot-y sort of thing for the engineers. And then
I think I'm definitely most interested in the octopus.
Yeah, fisherman's where it's at. If you want to not play the game in the aggressive fashion and just throw the ball in, it's what you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other teams that do it as well, or they have, like, one model that does it better. But, like, fisherman's objective is to just play ball.
Yeah, and then some of the factions can go into other factions too, like a couple of Union models I can use with my alchemists. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have a really good kicker from Union. It's fine.
I feel like I need to look into this more.
Yes, you do. They're playing it downstairs as we speak.
Yeah,
see,
that's what they're doing. They're recording a game to do some commentary, so everyone can watch that later.
Awesome.
Yep. I have a, Brian has a union model that I can use with fishermen named Fangtooth, and I'm really excited to use him because he's just this big, fat, smelly guy. And when he like walks around the table, he's just got this AOE around him that just makes everyone else slow.
He was hard to kill.
I believe it. He's got like 29 boxes.
It's still easier to hit, but to do all the damage, because you only do so much damage with each person. Like, I think it's like the tap I seen was like 3 damage. Yeah. So it takes a lot of hits.
Yeah, the way that you attack, so you get like your attack roll is like 4 or 5 dice, whatever. Yeah. The number of successes you have are not the number of hits they take, but you have like abilities or things that you can do. I am talking about a union model. Brian showered today, so I'm sure he wouldn't be too happy about
you
that.
You say that like it's an uncommon thing.
He showered. Brian showers most days. He was really smelly this morning. Let's just put that out there. If he didn't shower today, I wouldn't have brought him one. But you get like a playbook, and it's got like you can tackle or do like a knockdown or do 2 damage.
Or dodge.
And everyone's is a little different.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it's a really simple to learn system. And once you pick it up, you kind of like could play just about anyone.
Yeah. And just to throw it out there, it does have terrain, like obstacles and stuff too that you can get for. It's not just a straight soccer field. You can like go through bushes and go through rough terrain. So you have that sort of thing to it too. Which I think, I don't know if they're using that today or not. I know he has them with him, I think. But
probably makes the game a lot more interesting.
It would. I haven't tried it yet.
just got to learn the game first.
I've only done 2 games.
I still vote that we dress up in cosplay and find a soccer field and go out and like actually live
I'm down.
Action.
I'm
really especially if there's AOE fire.
I keep getting your microphone.
When we were after Friday night, we always, when we play in Baraboo on Friday nights, we always go to Monk's afterwards.
The BBC.
Yeah, the BBC now. Mm-hmm. Which,
Baraboo Burger Company. Not as cool as BBC.
British
Casey thinks BBC is really cool, by the way. That's what she just said.
Hey, they have good shows, okay? Dr. Hula, that's it. Maybe Sherlock. What?
Andy's face was precious.
Go away.
So we always go to Monk's BBC afterwards. And I got stuck at what became the kids' table because the way they split us up this week was we normally take the full back room, line up all the tables, and everyone is just kind of like together in a big pod. But this week they're like, okay, guys, we're going to do something a little different. They had the 3 tall tables and the 3 small tables, and there were like 5 of us at the small tables. And I felt like it was the kids' table. And just the way that I was sitting, Brian and Matt were at one table, and I was with, I believe,
I don't remember his name either.
Jim and George, I believe. Yep. Yes. Yeah. And it was just like, I was just sitting by the 2 of them the whole night, and I realized as we were in conversation that I also talk with my hands a lot, and like, it's scary, because I'm just like, all over here, and then the more that I drink, the more like, hands get.
I'm a huge hand talker.
But we had just like, I was just all over the table, and then George is explaining to me that he's in the military, and so he also talks with his hands, but he does this all the time, as opposed to like, I'm really like everywhere, and he's just like, nope,
you're like
this
spirit
is
finger, and he is like, just
knife handing
down,
is what they refer to.
Seriously,
it's good for cutting things, like microphones in half. Right.
I'm really getting the
good?
Mics with my
are you okay?
I'm gonna have to sit on my hand.
It's weird when you walk in.
It is. It got very weird when you walk in.
Yeah,
so, that's.
I mean, that's like the bulk of the story.
That's
like
the bulk of the story. Okay.
He was just like chopping away at like everything in the room. Just like, okay, At least I understand that it's not that bad.
I'm always very keenly aware when someone else in the room is talking with their hands. Like, it makes me more aware of myself. But otherwise, I'm just, like, flailing. Every story I tell, I'm just flailing around.
I'm trying really hard not to flail, so that's, like, when my arms are crossed at the moment.
You do have your arms. Like, you're, like, holding on to each arm.
They just go wherever they want. Like, I'm Italian, and I grew up in an Italian family. So, like, the hand motions.
God, that explains so much.
Yeah. I bet it does.
I've actually been known a couple of times to, like, accidentally knock over models on the table when I'm playing a game because I'm like, no!
Like, sure. Everyone who was watching the last week I was here, I flung my water bottle across the room. Like, the reason why I didn't bring a beverage today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm very dangerous.
You don't talk with your hands.
No.
Yeah, you're very I've noticed.
To myself.
I'm envious of that.
She's also very straight backed. I'm over here like all soft.
Like hunched into your microphone.
Yeah, I am.
I did notice when I was using my sex talker voice earlier that it caused my posture got better. Like, yeah. Hi.
Hi.
And then all of a sudden, I was sitting straight up.
He's fine with your diaphragm.
I guess.
Like, yeah.
I want the boobs to be really up there. I'm going to be using the sexy voice. I need the boobs to be right up there.
I got somewhere. This way because I used to stream Heroes of the Storm a little bit, and it was just, I don't know, you just kind of get more self-conscious.
More aware.
Yourself, yeah.
And you need the boobs to be out there.
Well, yeah.
That's really the gist.
Maybe it's
because
I don't have any that I don't do that. I don't know.
Yeah, that was short-lived. I got a Swedish stalker, and it's like, yeah, I'm not dealing with this anymore.
Oh, no. Stalkers are bad.
Well, yeah. At least he's a long way away.
Yeah,
that's true.
Not like a stalker from Chicago.
Yeah,
right. That's
true.
A little frightening. Or,
yeah. I was like, come on, I'm trying to just play the game. And
Chicago. Wait, is there an actual story about a Chicago stalker?
No, there is. Okay. I know of, at least. Maybe Andy, do you have something to share?
No, do you have a stalker?
No, I didn't stalk anybody.
Did I ever do my awkward story from GameholeCon a couple years ago?
Probably not.
Do it now. Now's a good time. Let's go.
Okay. So this is where everyone laughs at me because I'm way too trusting of a person. Okay.
I'm so happy my husband
isn't on this podcast right now. So GameholeCon, not just last year, but the year before, I was in one of the War Machine Hordes tournaments, and I think it was on a Saturday. So I wasn't feeling good about second or third round. I don't remember. And so I took the bye because there was a bye, thank God. And I was just laying over by, like, where there would normally be a concession stand or a coat stand or something, mm-hmm. next to some guy's stuff. And he was doing demos on another table. And he, like, almost stepped on me, apparently, not knowing I was there. And he asked if, you know, I just want to go up to his room and sleep.
That's not creepy at all.
Yeah, no.
And you were like, yeah, thank you for the offer.
Yes, because it is a lot more comfortable. So I did. I got a giant vitamin C tablet, which was really nice, too. I know.
No. It says you're quiet, so you might want to be
quiet. I don't know.
Well, you're probably not going to see that for, like, 2 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, there's probably a delay.
I hope I'm better now. Okay. But, yes, I know that sounds like a terrible thing, but nothing happened. Nothing happened. He tried to sell me T-shirts. In the end, I cracked down and bought one later. But he's also a T-shirt vendor. He was a T-shirt vendor as well. So if you're listening, I'm sorry, but this story just needs to go out there. And he was very nice. And yes, I bought a T-shirt. That's about the end of the story.
What did John say when you told him
he was dumbfounded. Everyone was dumbfounded.
Did he give you the vitamin C tablet?
Yes.
That's right.
I saw the bottle. We were okay.
I don't know. Just because the label says vitamin C doesn't mean it's not like roofies in there or something.
This is the exact reason that now when you buy Tylenol, it comes with the child privilege and the...
So today I learned if I ever want to roofie somebody, tell them it's a vitamin C.
It's a new version of Alka-Seltzer that doesn't bubble.
Yeah. Now I have to be wary of every man who invites me up to his hotel room.
I'm not.
No, you don't, because of that one. Not all men.
Maybe he's going to offer me vitamin C and try to sell me T-shirts.
In the end, nothing
I'm sure,
happened.
T-shirt man, I'm sure you're a very nice guy.
He was a very nice guy.
Thank you for not doing anything more than offer vitamin C.
The demo was not that great.
But, what was the game?
I don't even remember. It was some sort of spaceship game that he tried to make it like 3D. I don't know. It was weird.
Wasn't
not fun.
John freaking out though because he couldn't find you?
John was not freaking. I texted him and Brian to some. I am in this room.
I'm in some random dude's room.
I am here in this room number. And he doesn't check his fucking text messages during tournaments.
Yeah, I get that a lot with Brian. Yeah. I could yesterday you guys were all in Oshkosh. He texted me at like 10:43, letting me know that everyone had made it there fine. And then I don't get a text from him until 8 p.m. that says, guess what? We're on our way home. Like, okay.
Oh, good.
Doesn't bother me. I know you're fine. I saw Facebook.
Yeah. So what was that? Well,
that's a really good story.
I know, right? That is what I have gotten to the point where I don't care if people laugh at me. I don't care. I just don't care anymore. I'll do it.
Casey will do it.
I'll do it.
It's out there on the podcast. Doesn't matter what it is, Casey's going to do it.
It doesn't matter what it is. Casey will do it.
I'll do it.
I would like to sign up for that too, actually.
Okay.
Let's make a team of...
We'll make a team of I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Yep.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay, well, I'm not going to be on that team because I do care about my life a little bit.
For what it's worth, I have a really, really terrible creep dar, too. Like, it's to the point where that's why Keith feels secure about me going to cons, even by myself, and being surrounded by men, is because he knows I have no idea when people are hitting on me whatsoever. I'm just completely oblivious until he points it out to me. Have no idea. So.
I think I'm like the opposite. I'm the girl who just assumes that you're a creep until you prove to me otherwise.
Yeah.
That's smart.
I meet
smart,
new people
though.
And I'm like, hi. Yeah, you're going to have to try harder than that.
And then I'm the one that looks like I'm 16/14 and I just don't get hit on, period. So
it's a good thing. I always get people like, every person, no matter where I am, thinks I'm a friendly person and that they should strike up a conversation with me. And everyone who knows me knows I am not that person. I am just rude and just awful and mean to people. And I try so hard to like put up a friendly like facade when there's someone behind me in line that wants to talk to me about the thing that they're buying that I give two shits. Like, I don't care about it. I don't care what you're doing. We were at Gen Con last year and there was this guy, and this is actually an okay story because the guy's name was Bug and he was from like somewhere down south with his daughter who was like moving to Australia to marry some guy. I don't know. His name was Bug.
I would trust him right away. I literally would.
Like, I don't blame his daughter for trying to get the fuck out.
No. It's just, he had his like jean vest shirt jacket thing on. His like cowboy boots and there were some patches on it. And immediately
fun.
I knew that he was an okay person because of the way he was dressed. But like, why does he want to talk to me? I'm just in line trying to buy my cat bug dice. This is all I want to do today. It's like 900 degrees in this vendor hall because that's what Gen Con is like. You're like sweating bullets and I'm just like, no, please don't talk to me. And I don't know what it is. They're just like, you look friendly. And I'm just like, no, I'm not.
I'm really not friendly.
The worst person.
I think I tend to be that awkward person who's offering to talk to people. I have a problem with silence sometimes where like I try to fill it. So if I make eye contact with someone and then there's no words, I get really uncomfortable. My ratio of like terrible first impression to decent first impression, like seriously, the first time people meet me, I'm like, hello. Like I can't even describe to you how socially awkward I am. It's really, I'll tell you, this is my example that I use. I was in a choir in college and we traveled the country. I went to a very, very, very conservative Christian college in Illinois, which is hilarious now in retrospect. At the time it was what it was. And I was in this choir and we traveled the country, and I remember distinctly there was this day where all of the families came and we went out for a meal. It was like a buffet restaurant. And we went out for a meal together, and there was this guy in the choir with me. I didn't really know him all that well. His family was there. They ended up sitting next to me. And at one point, the mom was telling a story about how it was their second marriage because the husband had a wife that had left him abruptly. It was a very sad story, and she was telling it. And I... sweet Jesus. I decided that it was a good time to quote Sir Mix-a-Lot. And I was like, oh, so she, I can't even remember the lyric now. She dropped it and left it, and you pulled up quick to retrieve it.
Oh my God.
And the table just went like silent. Just silent. Everybody's eyes were just like bugging out of their faces. And this girl next to me was like, Celeste, you cannot say things like that. You cannot say things like that. And immediately, like, as the words are coming out of my mouth, my brain is going, no, stop. And it was too late. That's about average for me when it comes to talking to new people. That's where I sit normally. Oh, like,
that seems on par with our first conversation just about an hour or so ago. What's the first thing we start talking about?
Dildos.
Double-ended dildos. Not just any old. Yeah.
And realistically now, if you know me at all, my job is dildos. It's what I do for a living. So nowadays, that's my awkward. My go-to awkward is just to randomly strike up a conversation about dildos.
So have you heard about dildos?
Do you know what's new in the dildo scene?
Yes.
Let me show you. And then I pull out my giant bag of dildos that I carry with me everywhere I go.
She has, like, the jacket.
These are my display dildos. Yeah.
It should probably say something about both of us that didn't bother me. I mean, by profession, I'm an ER nurse by profession, so I'm used to both making small talk with people and discussing extraordinarily awkward things.
When people slip in the shower and something gets rammed up their ass. Yeah.
Naval orange is my record, by the way, for size. Not my personal record, that said.
Oh, I have mine here.
Sorry. I've also been popping.
You're throwing off our groove, Andy.
It's probably.
You're throwing off our groove.
Problem solved.
When isn't a good time to quote Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Valid point.
Never a bad time.
No, I definitely, I have to remind myself now that talking about dildos is not comfortable for everyone.
Because I do it
so often. Brian will sometimes give me sort of like side eye, and that's how I know, like, this is not enough. I talk about it with his parents constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, we make jokes about the stuff that I sell and the products, and I think it's fine and hilarious, and Brian's like, his ears are bleeding thinking about his parents. And it just, to me, it's just totally normal. Like, I don't understand.
Brian and I had a conversation like this the other day. I was talking about Pornhub doing the April Fool's Pornhub. And I was just like,
what did they do?
Pornhub did videos. They like just redid their site. Pornhub.
And it was just videos.
Hot, steamy hot corn.
Corn on the cob. Giant corn on the cob.
I can appreciate that. I had just like, I had gotten to the point where I was just like, discussing it, and like Pornhub does that pretty frequently, and there's like the meme thing where it's like Pornhub comments on whatever the stock image photos, Pornhub comments on Valentine like cards, so it's just become like, I was like, you know, Pornhub's really just becoming a like home name, like it's not something that people are like brushing under the rug, like people know what Pornhub is.
I'm pretty sure it was a home name even before that.
Maybe not talked about openly,
but that's what I was getting at. Like Pornhub really is something very you mainstream. Can hear in like normal conversation. Mm-hmm. But we're having this conversation as we're walking into work, and I'm realizing that like it's probably not the best time to talk about Pornhub is when you're walking in like you're 20 feet from the door of your employer.
It's funny that I had a patient some years ago, like 5 years or so ago in the ER, that I was just walking by his room. He's like the 70-year-old man that's very innocuous looking. And he was talking on the phone to his son-in-law about how I saw the most disgusting thing on the internet the other day. It was this thing called Two Girls, One Cup. I'm not even kidding you. I just got the hell out of Dodge. He's just loudly talking about this, and I mean, I assume he had some kind of hearing problem because he was like shouting this about the things that he saw in Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, geez. I would like to know when we're going to start talking about MK3.
We sorted it.
And I almost just want to answer with no.
We could say what our favorite part of the supposed.
Give the people what they want. We can say something about Mark.
Does we can go around. What's your favorite part about MK3? That we don't know of yet.
Although, I mean, we know about, like, the supposed new changes.
I'm holding hope that, one, Kray might actually be good. Two, Signar everything might actually be better. Besides gun mages, boom howlers, and long gunners, I suppose. And I'm hoping that Nemo 1 might actually get a feat.
That would be good.
Yeah. It would.
You're just hoping for more models.
Well, yeah. As a Cyrus player, I would like a new caster. Like, that first and foremost. I would like to remind everyone who keeps thinking that induction is going to be really great. It's not going to be really great. It's going to be kind of better. Well, I mean, you go from having... You I don't know, like, you guys are super familiar. I'm sure you are. I spend a focus. It goes to a jack within 6 inches. That now it's up to 3 focus to a jack within 6 inches. You spend that first focus, you're charging, running, whatever. Now you've got 2 focus on that jack to hit the other thing over there, and you're not within 6 inches of that one jack. So it's going to be better for the fact that you get more bang for your buck, but it's going to be significantly harder to pull off. So I think people aren't realizing that there's going to be as much balance as there was before. So yeah. I want another caster. That would be great. I want Aurora to not suck. That would also be really great because she's probably the coolest looking model on the table. I don't think I need more, like, models, period. Like, their infantry is really good, and we've got a reasonable amount. But maybe a character jack would be legit.
Fair enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely have the least probably strong opinion because I'm by far the newest player at the table. I play part-time at best. You know, like, my thing is like, ooh, change is fun. Like, that's kind of my feeling on it. You know, like, I'm a little bit nervous as a person who's played Bradagus exclusively for the last year to try to hone, you know, I decided as a new player it made sense to really hone one skill to perfection. And by perfection, I mean maybe a 50-50 win-loss ratio for me. But whatever. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Bradagus, but maybe that'll push me towards something new. I am definitely just by nature, a change-is-good person. So I laugh a little to myself at the people who are really butthurt about things. But in general, I'm just excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I normally don't like change.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for change.
I think it's needed because the stuff that came out in 2010 versus what is coming out now is just like, okay, nobody's using some of the stuff that came out at the beginning.
Yeah.
And you get spam of a lot of stuff that's out now. So they need to bring the stuff that came out earlier up to par with what's out now. Mm-hmm. So then we get more variety of, oh, everyone's playing this because this is the thing.
Right.
I want to see variety.
Yeah.
A certain amount of that could be accomplished with Errata, but there's some things they don't do with Errata. Like the Firefly, though, Jack for Signar is a really good example. He's 5 points. He's kind of good at everything, but he's not particularly good at anything, and that's really most of why he's not used at all. Mm-hmm. You recost that to 4 points, he'd probably be taken a whole lot more often, especially if you've got, like in my Nemo 2 list, I'd absolutely take him for 4 points because he works with my Stormcallers. Well... they're not going to recost that because that's just not something they've ever done with Erratas. So, I mean, if they were more willing to rebalance with Errata, I think that we wouldn't necessarily need a Mark III, but because they're not.
Yeah. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to?
Well, she's still looking forward to stuff, but I think you want other stuff that pertains
yes.
to your faction. We'll stay with you right
Sorry.
Now.
Sorry. So, I guess I'm looking forward to giant inflatable arm tube man. The new Scorn caster? He looks like the flailing.
Wacky wavy inflatable arm flailing tube man?
Yes.
I'm so excited.
First I was calling him Captain Spaghetti and then I saw someone say that. I'm like, nope, that's definitely it now. And I'm really hoping, I guess that's kind of my point with what I was saying earlier, is some of the stuff with Scorn, like, nobody uses. So, like, the Mammoth, you don't really see a lot of Mammoths out there. And I really want the Mammoth to be better because in a lot of cases I've heard people say, use 2 bronzebacks instead of a mammoth. And it's like, well, that sucks. I want to use this big fucking elephant and kick some ass.
I just want to say that now the only thing that I can think of in my head is how can we create a tiny battery-powered air blower to get an actual wacky, wavy, inflatable arm-flailing tube man on the model.
It's possible.
It's going to happen. It's happening.
Yeah. I have a soldering iron and some I have a lot of battery packs.
Yeah.
I was planning on making some
I'm gonna call my LED dad as steampunk soon as I
guns
here.
For Gen Con. I can resource my tools.
We're going to figure it out.
The other thing I wanted to point out, too, is the pre-measuring. I kind of just got to the point in playing where I could kind of gauge stuff and chicken out my opponent to, you know, I'd be like, well, how far is your threat range? So I'm actually... At first, I was like, oh, man, I just figured this out. But then now I'm kind of like, well, this is good because then I can't screw up anything.
Yeah.
And I know where.
That, like, quarter of an inch.
Yeah, because that's where I've gotten nailed or sometimes. It's like, it's just right
there. Should have pissed you off, especially, as Casey understands.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially as a Bradygus player, the number one loss that I have is when I see an assassination attempt using my feet and, you know, the placement with the stones, and then I end up being a quarter of an inch away. And then I'm just sitting there on, you know, no fury with my ass waving in the air.
Or it's even like, oh, I did have enough movement to do that, but I already stopped my movement.
Right, yeah, exactly. Son so I bitch. Can't, yeah. So the pre-measuring, I mean, I can definitely see...
Watch for tapping on the table.
Sorry.
Sorry.
It's my bad. It's the hand thing.
I'm going to keep your hands up here.
I'm putting them back down here.
Cuffs or something.
You have those.
Yeah, I do. My brain, it just
in
goes
her jacket
that,
right next to the dildos.
My brain just goes straight to that. I can understand, I think, if there's anything that I see that I can understand why it would upset people, I think pre-measuring makes sense. Because they're only because people have probably invested a whole bunch of time specifically in honing that skill, specifically to be more competitive as a player, and now it's, you know, not a thing.
But stuff like that happens, and it, I mean, if you just, you know, that quarter inch or whatever, you get there, and then that just totally changes the game
everything,
state.
Yeah.
And it's like, just because of that, you might have just
I
lost.
Understand. I'm fine with it, and I think everybody should be. But I understand, like, of all of the things so far that's been announced, like, I understand where that one makes people a little, like, cringy.
Yeah. And of all the things that cause frustration, that's a huge one.
Yeah.
I've lost plenty of games for that. I know I've lost, or I've had people lose to me for that. And it just, it's shitty for everybody. I don't like to see an opponent lose because they missed by, they're charged by 2 centimeters, right. 2 millimeters.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mittens for everyone.
No, we could say that we've been pre-measuring for the past 10 years with Warlock control
ranges.
That's
true. It's indirect, like, though.
Yeah. Very indirect.
Yeah, say your Warcaster's in the middle of the table, though, and you're trying to figure out something that's on the left side of the table. That makes it a lot harder.
Yeah. Oops, sorry. Absolutely.
When we played our Guild Ball game the other night, like, it was the games that I played with Brian, it was as far as I've got my little Muse on Minis, like, base sizes, and we were able to, like, pre-do something I was planning on doing, make sure it worked before I actually did it. And that you still have, like, you know, you might not be able to, like, hit something or do the damage you need to or get a spell off that you want to. So, like, taking that, like, measuring fucking you out of the game out of the game, I think it'll be a really big improvement.
Right. Yeah. And people talk about, you know, the number one thing that I hear people talking about that makes them excited is how this is going to, at least to some degree, level the playing field for everybody, at least in the beginning, because we're all learning new things or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the measuring thing takes the whole leveling the playing field to a much larger degree, because now as a new player coming in who's maybe never had to be able to, you know, visually know what 8 inches looks like. there's not an automatic, you know, level of skill because everybody starts at the same spot with the same abilities. So I think everybody's excited about, oh, good, this is going to level the playing field, and we have to look at pre-measuring in the same way. Like, it levels the playing field for all players, whether you're, you know, a Mark One original player, whether you're brand new coming into the game tomorrow, like, everybody has the same abilities and skill level. I think it's good.
Yeah.
And I know Keith had brought up a really good point about this, actually. It's not that skill is going to be completely irrelevant, because knowing roughly what distances are is still going to be really relevant, especially when you consider Deathclaw.
And you'll be able to do it faster.
The way that he put it is, I am overjoyed to let my opponent measure out every single range that they have and run their Deathclaw down to zero.
Right.
It's not a problem.
Time turns even
a lot less fun that way, but I mean, if that's what they want to do, then that's what they want to do.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's going to absolutely punish
There's still reason to continue developing that skill. Like, that's the point. That, you know, you can still develop the skill of being able to know the measurements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Last thing I had.
Go ahead.
Sorry. The only thing I had left is I'm going to be staying in Scorn, probably. It's just, I really have hope for Gators, too. Because the reason why I went into Scorn from Gators is because there's so many limitations with the Gators. And I can run them better in Scorn. So I probably won't go back fully, but I have hope.
I can support Gators. Mm-hmm.
Scorn Gators are the best Gators.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, that's mine.
That's the, you're good. Like you're it. Good. It went. It did a really big full circle thing here.
Yeah.
As for me, I am looking forward to getting the Fury back from Dead War Beasts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is such an improvement. That's amazing, because that's a lot of your warcasters are kind of pointless once they're gone, and that's just not, that's not cool. It's not fair when they're, you know, War Machine casters. They get all theirs, yep. Mm-hmm. And no matter what. So that, I'm looking very forward to that, and I'm looking forward to maybe the Archangel will be good again. Oh, not just a pretty model. Not just a pretty face.
Bookend.
It will be useful. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully. Like I said, high hopes. High hopes. Maybe even the Scorn, new Scorn Gargantuan will be a little less awesome, because I went against that one day against Geese. That just sucked. That sucked. The Hydra. The Hydra. Yeah. That just sucked.
I'm so excited.
And
for
I
that.
Still get to look forward to the Storm Raptor, yes. as well coming yes. out.
My brother in law.
Which will probably be
that.
Even better than what it was originally going to be. Yeah. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
I look forward to all of my Colossals always being good. Like, at least that's one downfall, or one thing that Cyrus has going for them. Good Colossals.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys' problem with Colossals is. I take away almost all my lists.
Is that enough Mark III talk? Can we move on?
They talk about everyone there. Mark III needs.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
That's all
we need more comments.
Yeah.
Guys are kind of failing us right now.
Well, there's only a handful of people watching.
I know.
How do you even see how many people?
It is 1:00. That makes sense.
Wait, what time is
usually
it?
You guys are on the Crippled System podcast. There's like nobody watching.
Yeah. It's just crickets out there.
I mean, this is not actually up to date down here, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a different time than normal,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's normally at 6.
For usually 6.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yes,
I apologize to everyone listening that it's at a different time.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's okay.
People were accommodating my...
But this is going out as an audio podcast as well. So
yeah. I'm sorry. We don't have to talk about how great Malifaux is. No. Malifaux's a shit game.
Because I also don't know anything about it, so there we go. Well,
they asked me the other night... I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but they asked me the other night what genre Malifaux is, and I was just like, the shit genre? What are we talking about?
This is ow. The podcast that bills itself as being terrible.
Ow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So oh, good. Hey. Somebody from the UK. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you like do you I like sport ball famous. Over there in the UK?
Sports ball.
Oh, no. What is that? That's not very nice.
No.
No. He's on there. He insults us all the time.
Okay.
It's
just
normal.
It's standard.
He's being insulted by Nick.
Oh, okay.
All right, okay. Well, then
continue. Do it. Then do it. We dare you.
Continue to insult us.
Yes.
Good job.
Right. Vagina power.
Your insults only fuel us. Hashtag vagina power.
Yeah.
We should use the people who are listening to take votes on whether we should use the cartoon vagina flexing its muscles or the anime woman shooting a light out of her vagina as our vagina power
that cartoon
t-shirt.
Is fucking terrifying. That thing is legitimately disturbing.
With legs and arms
and teeth. It's got teeth in its lips, dude. The thing is not okay.
Really gross. Have you seen the movie
could
Teeth?
Could that be the team name, Vagina Dentata? I think that's a good team name right there.
There's actually a movie called Teeth.
Yeah.
And it's a movie about a woman whose vagina has teeth and it will destroy anything.
Yeah.
They made those as like an anti-rape device.
They do.
But she has legit teeth.
Yeah, but it's the
well, you don't see her vagina in the movie.
No, you don't. But you see the
aftermath.
Yeah. It goes near it.
Yeah, it's worse than periods.
I think it was on HBO for like 3 months.
It's a really good movie. Here's a really fun thing. When I was in school, I did an undergrad research on vagina dentata in literature. I talked about teeth. I talked about some old biblical text. Talked about the anti-rape devices, which are super amazing, like the way that they work. I don't know if you're familiar with the process.
They're awesome. Reasonably. It's a little bit too late, though, if you've already...
The idea is that, like...
It's like a device that basically fits in your vagina, mm-hmm. right? That
yeah.
if when
and it has teeth.
Yeah,
so they go in and you can't pull out. Yeah.
No, it's like, not like, that it's not a can't pull out. It's a when they pull out, it's stuck there.
Right. So
they
have to actually go in.
They have to go in and see a medical It's totally fine as long as you don't sexually assault anyone.
It's so worth talking about this with Andy in the room.
It totally this kind of stuff. I love how much it wigs out the guys.
Well, see, the thing is, we wouldn't have to talk about it if there weren't people out there who needed it.
Right. Yeah,
like,
it's true.
That's true.
Yeah. That's what when I first saw about it, I thought to myself, like, my kingdom for a world where we don't need to have some, where women don't have to wear something inside of their bodies to feel safe walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, it's awesome, cool, amazing. Same thing with the fingernail polish. That you can dip into
your
the
drink
and it turns your fingernails black if it's been roofied, so that you can, like...
They have straws that do that, too.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as your drink is bad, your straw will tell you.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing to the people who thought to create those. Like, fantastic, wonderful. It makes us all safer that it exists. I just wish we didn't live in a world where that had to happen.
Yeah. Do we have any... Are there any? No one has questions for us? I'm down for questions if you want to put them in the chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though. I even wigged out Brian, since we're on the disgusting topic, and then we can be done with the disgusting topic, when I was really angry about the Page 5 thing, mm-hmm. and I was talking to Brian about it. He was like, wow, you're really worked up about this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to find this guy. I'm going to period bleed all over his model. That was my... That was my form of revenge.
We need to have a separate video just for Andy's reaction.
That was glorious.
I can have a picture of me just going.
Who's your favorite person to play against? I like to play against Brian Kerr. Can that be my answer?
These are a lot of questions. These are like on the way down.
Oh, let's
start. What's your favorite model?
Favorite model? Oh, I have a love affair with Nemo 1.
I really like Aurora. I wish she wasn't shit.
I like the one that I'm not going to remember the name. The circle, the thing. The Celestial Fulcrum. It's my name! My name is goddamn Celeste, and I can't remember Celestial Fulcrum. I like the Celestial Fulcrum. I also like the new Night Witch. I think she's a cool looking model.
I don't know. I like things that are cute. I like them all.
The fluffy bunny model.
I have to go with the Archangel, but I also am really digging the new Thag sculpt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think I need to get it.
And I'm really looking forward, again, to the Storm Raptor, possibly because right before they announced that it was coming out, I got a tattoo, a watercolor tattoo of a giant phoenix.
Oh, cool.
And now I'm going to paint my Storm Raptor to match my tattoo. Nice. And I'm really excited about it. It's
nice. Be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was your favorite person to play against?
I already said I like to play against Brian Kerr because he treats me like shit, but we have so much fun doing it. Like he beats me every time, and he's an asshole every time, and then he apologizes to me afterwards for being an asshole, and it was like the most fun game I've ever had. So that's my answer. I hate playing against my Brian.
That sounds familiar.
No commentary. Just
because I hate going against John too.
Yeah. Oh well, I hate playing against John.
I'm on the flip side. I like playing against my significant other because I am a really mean person, and I know that if I'm really mean to him, it won't matter, and I don't have to deal with someone thinking I'm a bitch after the game.
Good.
I've admittedly only played mine a small handful of times. That's mostly just because he completely flattens me for the most part. But really, anybody that's a reasonably good person to play against, I'm not really all that picky. No nerd rage at the end of games is kind of my deciding factor, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Win or loss.
Do you like to play against Aaron?
Yeah. I mean, we play at home, so it's not so bad.
I play with Brian
at home. I guess other people, not Aaron, my husband. I'd have to say you're Brian because, you know, he plays Scorn.
Right.
So
I know, and he likes to talk to you about it afterwards.
Yes.
Like, he loves that.
And your Brian is fun to play against.
You
I
think so?
Him.
Yeah. When we play at home, I literally am like, fuck you! storming off and like, I can't handle it. Like, I think it's probably just because I love him and whatever. But like, for some reason, when we play together, I'm like, last night, for instance, and this is just to show you how terrible a player I am at home. So you're actually going to feel bad for Brian and not me after this. I just finished painting this amazing Nuala the Huntress and I put her on the table and he, like, bottom of one, takes her out and I'm like, fuck you, Brian, I just finished painting that.
That shit pisses me off. Do not take my new model and make it so I can't play with it.
That was the blight bringer.
He was like, what do you, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, part of why I like playing your Brian is because he's Blue Kador, I'm Red Signar. Perfect. So it works.
It's hilarious.
It works really well.
Last time I played him too, it was kind of like, well, we can just bullshit each other. Like, oh, obviously you're going to do that. Like, because we know.
Because
we
know.
What's the next one? I only answer to who I don't like playing against.
Who do you like playing against? Sorry.
I like playing against, like, Rick Way, because he's very friendly. And then I also like to play against Nate, because he's just fun. He's hilarious.
Just fun.
He is.
Just fun.
He's adorable.
We can...
I'm worried about myself now.
Cheesecake is the best dessert.
Okay. Yeah, cheesecake.
I have to second that.
All-around cheesecake?
Yeah.
Are you in agreement?
I actually had this idea, so... You don't
depends
like
on, depends on what I'm in the mood for. Very subjective. Ice cream. I have a big weakness for ice cream.
I told Brian that, so you know, there's Valentine's Day, and then guys invented Steak and BJ Day for so February 14th is Valentine's Day, and then March 14th is Steak and BJ Day. So I decided that we were going to do April 14th as Cheesecake and Cunnilingus Day.
That's an appropriate day.
I actually always thought Steak and BJ Day should just be Steak and 69ing Day, personally.
Yeah. Everybody wins.
Everybody.
We lost a couple of them.
Yeah, I think it really was. How did you pick your faction?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good question, actually.
You want to start on that side now?
Sure. Well, when we were in 40K, I played Tyranids. Legion was just obvious choice from there. But also, I mean, they had the most kind... Besides Circle, where you can't really tell that they're women in the first place. But they had a lot of women characters, especially the Warcasters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sold them for cheap.
Yes, he did. And he sold them for cheap.
I remember it was at Misty. Aaron handed me a book, a Hordes book, because I would not play... I call them robots. I hate how they look. I will never ever play War Machine. Oh. But anyway, he gave me a book and I was flipping through it and I think I came across Barnabas's page. I'm like, he's cute. And then after I started playing Gators, I realized they're not always that great. So it's like, wow, the next cutest thing is Scorn.
Cool.
They're not that cute, but
I started this game again having no experience whatsoever and being sort of like the epitome of like non-violent person where I didn't even want to engage in games about violence and war. You know, my brain was very Brian has taken sucked all of that soul goodness out of me. So it's gone now. But my agreement with him was if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do as many female, it's going to be like the most feminist army possible. So I went with Circle, and my first army that I ever created was only female, like 100%. And I was convinced at that point that I was going to like win the world with this complete and total bullshit and like has nothing like terrible. But that was I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
Bumping it.
Yeah. So that was my hitting this.
The amount of female options was my big. I think the only other one I would have considered probably then was Legion, and Brian's dad plays Legion, so it didn't make sense for me to pick that up. So
I started out as Legion player because I like monsters and gross, scary, icky things. The opposite of cute because I think they're cute when they're gross and icky and scary.
Shredders are adorable.
Yeah.
But when they started talking about Cyrus, all of the artwork that I had seen, I love science fiction. I love classic science fiction. Metropolis is one of my favorite movies. Iron Mother sold me.
Yeah, that's cool.
Metropolis almost got me into Cyrus too when it first came out, admittedly. Signar, because I liked Guns and Lightning. It was really just a thematic thing, so I thought that would suit me. I did go into Legion a little bit. I've got a couple, like, probably 150 points or so of Legion, enough to make a two list, basically.
Sure.
I also do cricks because I really liked having holiday themed cricks. So each
did you do the Halloween?
I did do a Halloween. Oh, I did a Valentine's Day Bone Ripper. my witch coven my witch coven's not finished yet, but it's going to be St. Patrick's Day. So the egregore is cut in half. There's going to be Guinness in there with ice as like a little cooler, and one of them will the antenna with shamrocks on it. It's each different piece has its own holiday theme. So I thought that was fun.
That's awesome.
And because the witch coven is so much fun to play, I really like them as a caster. Same with Scabrous, and Terminus is okay, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do we want to do the favorite shirt color?
Why is it purple? Purple's the best color. Let's move on.
Okay. It's not purple because Keith's purple lucky shirt is horrific and I hate it.
Keith has a lucky purple shirt.
It is this absolutely hideous purple, like purple pink shirt from 1970. That's what purple paisley all over it. He stole it from his dad.
I love it.
It's horrible.
I need to see it.
It is the most hideous shirt you will ever see.
Favorite fictional character, but you can't say God.
Yeah. What if I'm referring to Morgan Freeman as
Morgan
God?
Morgan as God.
Oh, this is tough, guys.
I know. Commander Shepard, Femme Shep, hands down, best character, because I am Commander Shepard and I am the best character.
Oh shoot.
I really liked Bean from the Ender's Game trilogy until he turned into a Mormon after Ender's Game.
His favorite character became God.
His trilogy after was really terrible.
This is really hard.
I was even thinking of this for like last 5 minutes, and I'm just...
Yeah, I can't even... there's a book, and I'm not going to be able to remember the name of the author right now. It'll come to me. Radcliffe Hall. there's a book called The Well of Loneliness, and it's like classic lesbian fiction. Very old school, and the main character is this woman who grows up obviously feeling different in a time when it wasn't okay in like England, and her whole life of living, she lives this entire, the book is just ridiculous, and it's like 1,000 pages of just craziness, and by the end you're like laughing and crying, and I think about that character in my daily life every single day. So I think that's the one that pops out to me, but I also like, I'm a big fan of Boo Radley. I can't do it.
I have to go with Ashitaka on Princess Mononoke.
Oh, that's a good one. He's like the dream man.
Yes.
Yeah. Would bang in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Oh, I watched the crap out of that movie.
What's yours?
I'd have to say probably Ms. Marvel, not Captain Marvel, who she is now, but Ms. Marvel before, because I really started getting into comics as a child. I watched like, you know, TV shows and that with based on comics, but really got into the comic books with Civil War, and oh god, now there's Captain America too. Crap. Well, I'm gonna stick with Ms. Marvel because in Secret Invasion, there was this fight. Basically, they thought that Skrulls, they're aliens, and you couldn't tell, like, you could be a Skrull and I wouldn't even know about it. So Nick Fury's like basically said, F you, you're a Skrull, Ms. Marvel, leave her alone. And she was like in New York City, and there was just all Skrulls surrounding her, and just the look on her face of like, oh my god, they're leaving me. And she just kicked everything's ass.
That's awesome.
So that's why I love her.
Oh my god. How did I forget Vegeta? Oh my god, what's wrong with me? I'm changing my answer to Vegeta. Yes. Yes, you know me too well, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who do I hate playing against? I don't know their
Travis.
Oh, I don't think I've ever played a game against Travis.
You don't need to.
You don't need to.
Okay.
That's a really good question, actually. Why is Vegeta so popular? I never cared for him myself.
Yeah,
Who is it?
You don't know who Vegeta is?
I don't know who Vegeta is.
Have you ever watched Dragon Ball Z?
It was after my time.
How have you never watched Dragon Ball Z, regardless of when it was?
You're dead to me,
Andy. To be honest, it was after my time. It was very, very Japan as I was growing up, and then by the time I got to high school, that's when things started. When you started hearing about imports of video games coming over to the U.S., I was already past that point. I didn't.
There is no such thing as being past the point of Dragon Ball Z. I just want to throw that out there. I intend to have my child watch Dragon Ball Z.
It's like, it is a rite of passage.
Yes, it is. Also, yes, Broody Bad Boy, and he's not Goku, who is just like...
an idiot?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And Goku, only Goku can save us.
Goku is a Dragon Ball Z character, I'm assuming?
Goku is Jesus.
Yeah, that's Kakarot. Okay, yeah, he's practically Jesus.
The only reason I even know that name is because there's a meme that's been going around on Facebook.
I saw that, too.
Did you see it?
Yes, I posted it, too.
It's like, hi, I'm Goku.
No, it's a little boy with his dad.
It's a Johnny Depp movie with a bunch of stills, and he's talking to his son. And
he's like, Dad, how come you always do all of the dishes and the laundry and do all the housework and Mom never does any of that? And he's like, well, because we had an agreement that I would do all of that if she let me name you. And the son was like, well, was it worth it? He was like, of course it was, Goku. So that now I have a point of reference for that.
Yes.
No, it's okay.
I'm really picking on Danielle.
Let's see. Yep. Yes, he's super protective. Yep. Gosh.
Did we hit all the questions? Did we miss any of them?
Nope.
We got them all.
Okay.
All right.
Tie up with recommendations. Or if you guys want to talk longer.
I recommend that you don't buy any models for the next 2 months.
That is a good recommendation.
And that you play Guild Ball instead.
No, this is not a Guild Ball. I mean, we're recording a game downstairs.
Andy regrets everything.
You can definitely still buy models if you want to. I just think that who knows?
Yeah, making the conscious decision to buy a model when you know that the rules are going to change may change in two months.
And that you have no... we don't know, what's going to be good and what's going to be terrible.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't buy things based on good or terrible.
For that recommendation. Hey, Travis. That's
your recommendation?
That's my only... I don't know what else to say.
Okay. Recommendation?
I'd say don't buy models. Just play Heroes of the Storm.
Don't buy anything. Just play Heroes of the Storm. No more groceries. Just Heroes of the Storm. You do have to pay for your Wi-Fi, though.
Yeah.
That's true. People who are butthurt about pre-measuring are selling their models right now for super cheap.
Yeah.
So if you are going to buy, consider...
So now is a good time to buy secondhand.
We don't need the real butthurt people anyhow. They're probably douches to play with.
I have to recommend Games and Gears. They have a game called Dark Deeds. That was a lot of fun. We demoed at Adepticon. And then I also just had to recommend their paintbrushes. We got them so we could do our painting thing there because we totally forgot to bring our brushes, and they were real nice to work with.
I think I have a set of I think it's Games and Gears, or Gen Con exclusive ones from last year, and I feel adversely to that. They're okay.
Well, I don't use the Kalinske one because I still just buy Walmart ones because I'm not that amazing.
That's
of a painter
fair.
Yet.
I do use really high caliber brushes because I use Brian's brushes.
Yes.
Irish Masters, definitely recommend. We had a really, really good time. Particularly because even though hardcore is going away, which makes me really, really sad for the record, I love the hardcore. The time turns is really what gets me about hardcore. I really, really like the 7-minute time turns, no extensions, because there's no fucking around. And because I do really well in time turns, because I think well on my feet where opponents don't always. So it's the only format that I legitimately do well in. But yeah, Irish Masters, really, really good time. They're continuing hardcore for a couple years is what I heard, since they just bought a bunch of stuff for hardcore, and even though they're discontinuing that particular event. So yeah, go to Ireland.
Sounds like a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go to Ireland. That's my recommendation. If we're doing that, I recommend the Caribbean.
There's no war machine there.
We all just want to move to Canada eventually, so let's start talking about other countries.
I heard Nova Scotia will welcome you, especially if Trump becomes president.
all the places you can go if Trump becomes president.
I love Cape Breton's
a shithole. I know the feeling.
I'm Googling about, like, how do I obtain a passport that after, like, Trump's started running... was just insane.
It's skyrocketing. Yeah.
The truth thing, though, that I knew from long before Trump was ever running, there are specific, I don't know what ones, I haven't done the research, but in Canada, there are specific parts of their immigration policy that becomes more strict during presidential elections.
U.S. presidential election.
Exactly why. It's been that way forever. Just because the number of people who want to get out after every election is so much
higher. My favorite is always like the post-Obama elections when people are like, moving to Canada!
You don't understand anything.
Where's more liberal than the U.S.? Canada. Guess we're going there.
So my recommendation, and I don't know how many people are actually watching, but I think people always know that I talk about Destiny at some point in time while I'm on here. The update dropped, and I'm not going to recommend it. But I have been playing Bravely Second since it dropped yesterday. I have like 10 hours into it already. If you like Final Fantasy or the more classic Final Fantasies, highly recommend you pick it up and the prequel Bravely Default. It's a good time. Standard price for a DS title, like $40. Job system. I really like job systems.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. This was Crippled System, the ladies only cast, and episode 156.
Hashtag vagina power.
Vagina power. Bye.
Dun, dun, dun. Are we still alive?
No.